It's just a flood of gladness in my spirit just to be with you again. I'm going to wait for you at Psalm 23. Psalm 23 has often been called the Pearl of Psalms. And without doubt, probably the most popular portion of the Bible next to John 3:16. It has been a source of strength and comfort for many a weary pilgrim. It's a psalm for all occasions. Blesses us during the good times, helps us during the tough times. One writer says of Psalm 23 that it describes a typical day in the life of a sheep, with the shepherd taking his sheep out early in the morning and bringing them back at night. But it's more than just a single day to the Jesus follower, isn't it? It's a day-by-day experience on our way home to dwell in the house of the Lord. Psalm 23 tells us how to face the days ahead. It tells us how you and I can face life and all that we encounter in life until we reach our heavenly home. There is the day ahead, that joyous and glorious day when we get to our long home. But until then, beloved, there are the days ahead. Sunny days in green pastures, shadowy days in the valley, days when we drink from still waters. But there are also days we need oil for our hurts, days when our cups run over, days when our cups feel empty. How do you and I face these days, beloved, the days that are ahead of us? I submit to you this morning, our beloved friend and companion, the 23rd Psalm. How do we face the days ahead? We must live every day with Jesus. Notice at the very beginning of the psalm, David shares with us the secret to facing the days ahead: the Lord himself. David was able to face life and all he experienced in life with the Lord. David's secret is now our secret. And regardless of what may lie ahead in the days to come, you and I can face these days with the Lord. I want to zero in on the person, the Lord's person, and impress upon your spirit to the best of my ability to be awestruck at his person. The Lord is the name Yahweh, in Hebrew, Jehovah in English. It's the most sacred name of all. It's the verb in English to be or to become. And it speaks to God's being. It speaks to God's essence. Some unusual things about it. It was only pronounced once per year behind the veil and in the holiest of holies. Whenever Yahweh needed to be spoken with human lips, the Jews would substitute Adonai, which is Lord, spelt with small letters. Whenever Yahweh needed to be written, the person would have to stop, take off their clothes, take a bath, pick up an unused pen after clothing themselves again, and throw the pen away after Yahweh is written. Now, just see David in your minds, bathing himself, dressing himself again, picking up a new pen with a heart flooded with awe, writing, "The Lord is my shepherd." The name David chose is the personal name of God. And it was Moses who was the first to learn this name during his encounter with God at the burning bush. Let's look, if you will, at Exodus chapter 3 and begin Exodus chapter 3. And let's listen to what the Bible says, beginning at verse number 13. And this is after 40 years of lonely isolation. Listen to what God says. Exodus 3, verse 13.
It reads from New King James Version. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'"
Bless the Lord. Now, the word, the verb that it translates to be from Yahweh really is a combination of three tenses. I always am. I always have been, and I always will be. Amen. It's he will be, he is, and he was. In other words, beloved, God is a 24-hour-a-day God. I am that I am. I am everything and anything that you will ever need. So listen up, Moses. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have, Moses. It doesn't matter where you have been. It doesn't matter where you find yourself now, or where I send you in the future. Nothing else matters, Moses. When I am is with you, you have everything you need. My name is Jehovah. I am that I am. I am everything and I'm anything that you will ever need. Notice, God, Yahweh, is uncaused. He's uncaused. He never had a beginning, and he never will have an end. Jehovah is the one who causes, but he himself never caused. He has ever existed and will ever exist. He was not created. He was not born. He makes, but he was never made. One preacher puts it this way. God stepped out from behind the curtain of nowhere onto the platform of nothing and spoke a word into existence. And the reason God came from nowhere is because there wasn't anywhere for him to come from. And coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. And the reason he stood on nothing was because there was nothing on which for him to stand. And standing on nothing, he reached out where there was nowhere and caught something when there was nothing to catch. And he hung something on nothing and told it to stay there. Then, standing on nothing, he took the hammer of his own will and he struck the anvil of his omnipotence, and sparks flew everywhere. He caught those sparks on the tips of his fingers and flung them into space, and lo and behold, bedecked the heavens with stars, and nobody said a word. The reason why nobody said a word was because there wasn't anybody there to say anything. And so God himself said, that's good. When there was nothing, there was God. There has never been a moment when he was not was. There will never be a moment when he is not is. He is the uncaused God. Notice too, the unchanging God. God told Moses, just tell them my name is I am. If you or me were to call ourselves I am, that would be an incomplete sentence. We would ask, I am what? And we would have to give a descriptive word to the words I am. For example, I am young. I am strong. I am old. I am love. But not so with Yahweh. He needs no descriptive word because he always is. God is, and he is what he has always been. He never changes. Look at Exodus 6, verse 2. Malachi says, while we're getting there, for I am the Lord, I change not. Beginning at verse 2 in the book of Exodus, chapter 6, what does the Bible say?
It says, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers.
Amen. Now, did you notice? Lord spelt in capital letters. Did you notice Jehovah in the same text? You notice that? God is saying to Moses, I am the one, the same one who appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob and made my covenant with them. And now I'm revealing myself as the one who keeps his covenants. I am about to deliver my people with my own word. So God is revealing himself to his covenant people as the unchanging God who remains faithful to his word. Many for many generations to come. He will be who he is, and he will do what he has said he would do. I wonder, can we talk for a minute, New Maywood? Just for a minute, can we talk? Who do you need in your life right now? Who do you need in your life right now? What do you long for? I'm talking about deep in your heart, deep in your spirit, in these challenging times in which you and I live. Could it be that, like me, you long for someone who will always be there? Do you need someone who will never change, never leave? God will never move. His love will never grow cold. He will always be there to comfort, to strengthen, to bless. He is the uncaused, self-existent, and unchanging God. Somebody say, praise God. Hallelujah. And everything and anything that you ever need will come from him. When you need assurance that God is there, keeping his promises, never changing, even though you and I have wavered in our promises to him, let us run to Jehovah, church. Let the New Maywood Church continue to trust in his name. I think it was the Proverbs writer that said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Blessed is he who runs there, because he or she will be or is safe. It's a name that cannot change, because Yahweh cannot change. He is Jehovah, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. And I hope you know that he is as good as his name. David seems to be saying to you and I today, we can face whatever our journey of life may bring, because our God is the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. We're facing some stuff today. We're going through some personal stuff. We're going through some social stuff. Some national stuff. How can we face the days ahead, church? Look to the Lord. I said, look to the Lord and let who he is and what he is fill your heart with strength. Fill your heart with courage. God is a big God. And let God become big in your heart. Focus on Yahweh during your journey. And always be awestruck. After all, he is an awesome God. Be amazed at the God he is, and acknowledge that we can face the days ahead with this kind of God every day. I said every day. Amen. Anyhow, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me just punctuate Let me just begin this segment here with the following statement. It's not a bad life being a plain old sheep. It's not a bad life just being a sheep. When you stop to consider that the Lord is my shepherd. Sheep are the dumbest of animals. They require constant attention and meticulous care. They have little means of self-defense, and they easily fall prey to predators. If they do not have the constant care of a shepherd, they will go the wrong way. They will walk blindly into danger. They will eat the wrong food. They will lap up the wrong water. If the shepherd doesn't lead them to new pastures, they will literally live out their lives in a rut. Sheep can also become downcast or cast down. That means they're stuck on their backs. And in that state, they can panic and die. Do you see, beloved, how shepherd-dependent sheep are? And God says, by the way, you and I are just like sheep. There would be times when a certain sheep in the flock would go astray again and again. Instead of learning to stay close to the security and the provision of the shepherd, the sheep would foolishly and sheepishly wander away by itself and constantly get into trouble. How dumb are sheep? They will literally eat themselves right off a cliff just to get a mouthful of grass. A sheep will plunge over the edge to injury or death. In such a severe situation, the shepherd would be forced to break the leg of that sheep. Did you hear me, church? Break the leg of that sheep and bind up the injury, carrying the sheep back to the fold in his garment, back to pasture. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the shepherd is powerfully responsive to the sheep. In Matthew 9 and verse 36, what does the Bible say?
It says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd.
When Jesus saw Israel, oh my goodness, he said they were like as a sheep having no shepherd. And notice compassion emerged from within Jesus. Compassion doesn't just feel. Compassion feels and acts or does something about what it feels. The shepherd is responsive to meet your and my every need. Notice, not our every greed. There is a difference. But he's also personally related to the sheep. There's a little word in the verse, and it has some amazing power. That little word is mine. You may know that God is a shepherd. You may even believe that God is the shepherd. But when you say my shepherd, God says my sheep. Are you feeling me yet? Saying my shepherd is a supreme act of faith. But when God says my sheep, that's a divine act of grace. There's only one way, church. Only one way to know that the Lord is your shepherd. And that is to make sure that the shepherd is your Lord. Make sure that the shepherd is your Lord. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse number 21? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21.
It says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness."
And then later in the gospel according to Luke, he asks a very powerful question. So simple, though. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" I'm learning. We ought to learn from these verses, that acknowledging Jesus as Lord has to be more than just words. It's a relationship. It's where a relationship with God begins, or even must begin. The Lordship of God means his total possession of me and my total submission to him. His total possession. God owns all of me, and I totally submit to him. So in light of this, let's ask together, can a person be saved, really saved today, and deny God's lordship over their life? Can the Lord be my shepherd without acknowledging him as Lord? As Adonai, he has the right, Luke 6:46, to expect obedience. Let's rub that a little further. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4 and begin reading at verse number 10.
And it reads, "Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will do what you shall say. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, you will be glad in his heart."
Beloved, why is God angry in this text? Because Moses was saying, Lord, Lord, Adonai, Adonai, but not trusting and submitting to him as Lord or as Adonai. What good does it do to form the word Lord with our lips when our knees don't bend in acknowledgement of his lordship and our feet turn away from his chosen paths? God is master. God, Yahweh, is Lord. But what a master. Amen. What a Lord. What a Lord Yahweh is. This shepherd wants to have a personal relationship with you and I and give us everything we need. If you're hungry, he's the bread of life. When you're thirsty, he's living water. When you're in the dark, he is the light of the world. When you're lost, he is the way. If you need it, God's got it. If he doesn't have it, you don't need it. If you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, you have no need to worry. You have no need to fear, for he is everything you need. I close now. Let's notice his provision. And let's notice it with blessed assurance, confidence. What does David declare that the outcome of the Lord being his shepherd is? He says, I shall not want. Is that in your Bible? One little boy was quoting Psalm 23 verse 1 in Sunday school, and this is what he said. And I like this translation. You can tell, right? The little boy said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. And so in the words, I shall not want, we see the sufficiency of God. I shall not want rest because he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want drink because he leadeth me beside the still waters. I shall not want forgiveness because he restores my soul. I shall not want guidance because he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name. God accepts the responsibility to... Lord, have mercy. I shall not want companionship because, yea, though even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because Jehovah is with me. I shall not want comfort because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want food because thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I shall not want joy because he anoints my head with oil. I shall not want anything because my cup and your cup is running over. I shall not want anything in life, in this life, because surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of our lives. The Lord will be with us, and he will meet every need. And then notice the satisfaction of the sheep. I'm closing. I shall not want literally means there is no lack in my life. David is speaking as someone who is satisfied. On his journey, he could not have for anything more than the Lord himself. The Lord himself. In the Lord, his every need has been met. There's a story of a little boy who really loved pancakes. I mean, he really loved pancakes. So much, he loved pancakes so much that he made a glutton of himself. His mother, bless her heart, decided she would cure him. So one day she offered to fix all the pancakes he could eat. She made him a big stack. Amen. Made him a big stack. He ate all of them. She made him another big stack. He ate all of them too. She made him a third big stack. He ate the third big stack too. After the third stack, Mama said, "Son, do you want any more pancakes?" He looked at her and he groaned and said, "No thanks, Mom. In fact, I don't want the pancakes I've already had." You can be sure that during the days ahead, the Lord, our shepherd, will provide all we need to face whatever the future may bring. What do the days ahead have in store for us? Only God knows. However, regardless of what the days ahead will be like, please, please, please remember the following. You have an awesome and a glorious God to trust in. Did you hear me? You have an awesome and a glorious God to trust in. Let him fill your hearts. Let Yahweh fill your thoughts. He's uncaused and he is unchanging. He will always be there. God ain't going nowhere. Presidents will come and they will go. But God ain't going nowhere. Remember our shepherd. He powerfully responds to his sheep. And he's personally related to us. He's present and he's personal. Somebody ought to be shouting. Be assured of his provision. You do not have to want. There is no reason why you should lack what you need to face whatever the future holds. No reason at all. I remember reading this week about a Puritan who sat down to his meal, bread and water. And as he bowed his head to pray, he declared, "All this and Jesus too." Every day in the days to come can be every day with Jesus. Every day in the days to come can be every day with Jesus. Beloved, don't hold it against me, but what more can you ask for? Is not Jesus enough? If you're here today, can you say the Lord is my shepherd? If you're here today and perhaps you're listening and you've never said, "Yes, Lord," you've never given your life to live underneath the lordship of God. Understand what I'm saying? Where you give your life to him to own it and you submit or you obey what he says. There's one passage in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that connects directly to obeying and acknowledging God as your Lord. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Have you obeyed the gospel, God's only power unto salvation? Have you said, "Yes, Lord"? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing, based on your faith in who Christ is, to do a 180 degree, to do a 180 degree, to change your mind, turn your life around. In other words, stop going in the direction that you're going and turn around and begin to follow Jesus. That's repentance. Whatever Jesus says, commit yourself to doing. And then be willing to confess Jesus as Christ, as Lord, the Son of the living God. Be baptized in water. That's how you say yes to the Lord in connection to the gospel, God's only power to salvation. And we invite you to do that today. Talk with us. Get a phone number. Put your name in the chat. Let's talk about this. Because your soul, the most valuable thing that you have, your soul is at stake. And your soul needs a savior. His name is Jesus. He is the way. He's the truth. And he's the life you need to live so that we all can go to our long home. Can you say, let me talk to the New Maywood Church again. Can you say that the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. I want you to put something, a question in your spirit and use this question to make whatever response God is calling and summoning you to make. The question is, what area of your life are you not trusting our shepherd to meet your needs? What area of your life are you not trusting our shepherd to meet your needs? What would it take? What more does God have to do to cause you to give this area over to him? We pray that even today, that you will hear our Savior, our shepherd calling. He's passing by. And we pray, we invite you to cry out for his mercy. Our Father, almighty and everlasting God, precious, precious Lord, we praise you. We give you the highest praise because you are eternal. You never change. We give you thanks for your presence, your daily presence. We give you thanks, Father, that you are personal. Father, we thank you because your word assures us that you will provide for our every need. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for your wonderful care. We still need your help. We confess that we cannot make it without you. And we're thankful to know that help is already on the way. Help us to trust you more to meet our needs. Help, Lord, that we would seek to keep, to put you first and keep you first by obeying your every loving command. Just so that we can live underneath in total submission, underneath your lordship, and you being the final and ultimate authority. Lord, do with us whatever you will. Whatever you will, have your own way, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.